4:30, time to call to order the Town of Discovery Bay Standing Finance Committee meeting. Can I have roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present and Director Graves is online.
Outstanding. Okay, this is the time for public comments. If there's any members of the audience or online that wishes to address the board for any item that's not on tonight's agenda, this is your opportunity. Do we have any else online?
We do not have anyone online.
All right, no one online and no one in the audience wishes to make a public comment, so I will close public comments at this time. We'll go to the draft minutes. Can I get a motion to approve draft minutes?
So moved.
All right, second. Let's move forward to presentations. So there are some communities that have taken on probably more risk than they wish they had, and I've chosen the city of Santa Barbara to talk about. I used to work there, and so I know the system pretty well, but they have a large water system, water distribution network, that they sort of let age on them, if you will, the old aging infrastructure issue. And so
you gotta go, you idiot. Nobody's gonna stop and let you go. Go!
Awkward.
I know it. Leave me on. I'll
okay,
do myself.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. So what we don't want to be is on the cover of the newspaper, right? So we have infrastructure. We want to understand the risk of how we manage it and maintain it. And what happened with the city of Santa Barbara was, and this is just a graph that shows you on the bottom the age of the infrastructure. So it's an old city established years ago, a little bit over, and so they were not keeping up on the replacement schedule for the old system. But then that red box showed their bigger problem was over the next
10 to 15 years, the majority of their system would be coming into the high-risk part of the infrastructure condition. And so they needed to change how they approach their CIP planning and how they funded it. So just to bring up, this is what we're trying to avoid. Obviously, this shows you just a snapshot of recent budgeting by the board and staff to say, here's investments we need to make in water. We have the water distribution system pipeline replacement project, which we're going to kind of focus on today. And that is your single biggest risk and also CIP investment that you need to manage and think about how you want to fund over time. But you also have other investments on that top arrow, which is just water system improvements, treatment, reliability, and compliance type investments. So like with all these utility systems, are very complex, and there's multiple investments all the time. But you can see that the project we're going to talk about is the design, and you can see the priorities here, design and acquisition of well 8, which is a replacement well, which will have treatment. So that's good. But you can see that second bullet, long-term mainline pipeline replacement program. That's the one we're targeting that's in your plan. So right now, for lack of a better term, if you look at your water distribution network, you've got about 50 miles of main pipeline. And unfortunately, almost 40% of it is what's called AC pipe, asbestos cement pipe, which is no longer used in modern systems. Pipe materials have changed to C900 or plastic or ductile wire, and even HDP pipe. So that is your asset that is at risk. So we need to figure out how do we replace it. And just so you know, you already have over 10 miles of that pipe in the system. It's half the useful life of the pipe, which is roughly 50 to 60 years. But right behind that, you have another slug of 8 miles that if you wait to replace, will become, will add to that aging risk profile. So that's what we're trying to do. So this shows you some cost estimates for if we focus on the highest risk portion of the AC pipe that we want to replace first, that could fail first or have problems with service. That's going to be roughly $1 million per mile. That's just what it comes out to for total project costs and project delivery. And as we mentioned before, the target is that segment of pipelines that are already at the useful life, 50 to 60 years, and are identified for replacement in the CIP plan. Also, AC pipe. There's a lot of case studies on that. We didn't want to bring in worst case scenarios, but it hasn't given the useful life it was promised when it was thought of as a pipe material that a lot of utilities were banking on back in the 70s and 80s. So we know that you've got limited useful life in that older pipeline. And just to show you that we really looked into this, we looked at some data points. If you look at the next slide, key factors that affect AC pipe failure. We could spend a lot of time talking about this. Everyone would fall asleep. But since you have the AC pipe, age is a factor. The smaller diameter pipes fail first. Guess what? Most of your pipe is smaller diameter. Failure history, you are starting to get some failures. Pressure, you have moderate system pressure, so we consider that a moderate risk. But high pressure systems obviously have a shorter life. Soils, because of your reactive soils, you have what are called hot soils. Unfortunately, that's a degradation factor, so that will shorten the life of the pipe. Manufacturing standard, it looks like a lot of your pipe was manufactured right around when they studied failures in other AC
Oh man, let's go.
Piping systems.
Come on, let's go.
It was manufactured between 1960 and 78, it was less susceptible, but at least a portion of yours was not. So it could be manufacturing spec-wise. There could be some weaknesses there. Land cover, you guys have clay soils, so that's probably exerting additional pressure. You have high water table as well, so changing water levels, and that puts longitudinal stress on the pipe, which is going to shorten the life. And then water quality risk. Asbestos pipe, if it begins to fail, you're going to get high asbestos levels in your water system. It'll be delivered to homes and businesses. And then once it's become airborne, it becomes a health concern and violations of the Safe Drinking Water Act. So we just wanted you to know we didn't take this lightly, and these are the risks we're looking at for your system. So in looking at your 20-year CIP plan related to your high-risk AC pipe areas, these are the relative risks of if you stay on the 20-year path for replacement, there's probably higher risk to the community as far as life cycle costs, increased system failures, higher O&M costs, and potentially violation of the Safe Drinking Water Act and other issues. So versus something we want you to just think about is we could fund that liability in a holistic way to get that pipe out of the system and avoid the future risk and use essentially low-cost funds to do that so that you can focus on smaller CIP projects and hopefully maintain a more sustainable cash flow to fund your system. So we could talk about this and we can answer any questions about it, but we did kind of look at the relative risk, and clearly it's less risky actually from a lot of perspectives to approach it more like a large project CIP improvement effort versus sequentially over 20 years when a lot of these problems are going to exacerbate. So next.
Can I ask? Well,
yes.
So first of all, folks, apologize for being late. I had another meeting in Stockton, and I apologize for, I hope I didn't swear on the line there. There was idiots in front of me driving, so I apologize for that too. Anyway, did I hear you say $1 million a mile? No, how much was the cost? $1 million a mile?
Yes. That's total. That's planning, design, construction, and related costs.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's of a balance of about 50, how many miles left did we have to replace in town?
Well, you have 13.3 miles that are high risk and 18 total that would become high risk sooner than later.
18 total?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
So we just wanted you to know we put some thought into this because obviously we're very familiar with your water system and its condition and its assets. And so we just want to bring this to your attention as you consider options. So this kind of shows you the areas, and essentially it's in the north area, northeast, if you will, the red area. That's where the 13.3 miles are that are recommended for replacement now. So if we approach more of a large CIP approach, we could replace that whole section in 5 years and take it out. And you essentially would avoid a lot of the risk that we just showed you you will have if you get into a 20-year implementation scheme. And then also we just want you to know that this assessment is also based on your own corrosion studies to evaluate the relative infrastructure risk for the water system, and mainly that the soil is predominantly alluvial, about high swelling and shrinkage characteristics, and this is one of the big failure mechanisms for AC pipe. So next, please. I'm competing with the dog, so I don't want to take too much time.
No, you're not competing at all. Where's she supposed to be now?
So anyway, the priority is taking care of the high-risk portion of the AC pipe first, but you could argue that if we're going to do this, we should consider just taking it all out and converting it to C900 or plastic pipe, which is probably going to give you double the life of this pipe.
there's also some discussion with regards to restriction of flow, balancing out our two plants,
yes,
and bringing the well 8 into play.
Yes. That,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, and that could be wrapped in.
That's what I was trying to say. Is that
we would evaluate pipe sizes, and you know, with our model, we've already identified some potential hydraulic bottlenecks that we could upsize between the Newport and Willow plant, particularly on Sandpoint. You know, has been a focus lately,
right,
with Anthony and Aaron in,
right,
those conversations. So that would be part of this project too, because that AC pipe does extend.
And that might change the priority of how timing and what projects we take on first and such too. Would it? Or could it?
Yeah, it could. I think under this approach, if you want to go the state revolving fund approach, we could do, you know, the 13 miles of pipe as one project rather than across 20. That's, you know, been, that was, is originally laid out, and that's what we're here to talk about. The advantages of that approach versus piecemeal over the next 20 years.
Sure. You guys keep me in my lane, because I'm thinking wastewater committee at the same time as I'm thinking water financing, a finance committee, and sometimes, because they are related,
yeah.
I get
you're also going to be presenting at the wastewater committee, so you get to
advise. Oh,
yeah.
Good.
So, just moving through, you see the target for high-risk AC pipe replacement zone, and then so we can get to some of the finances, maybe. So this is just a blow up of that. I do want to talk about, so with AC pipe replacement, once you get within 6 inches of the pipe per standard, per law, you have to hand dig so you don't basically disturb the asbestos. And so it's easier to just abandon it in place. But one of the attributes of this project could be that you can move some of your project alignments into true easement and right of way off private property, which in the long run would definitely be an added benefit as well.
We've already done a little bit of that.
We did the golf course.
So we just wanted to show you that when you look at your CIP priorities, clearly the top of the list is the water distribution pipeline R&R project, focusing on the AC pipe. That's your single largest investment risk that you have in the water system. All these other projects are really important, including Well 8, which is already funded by our new bond offering. But there's still work to do, but they're much more manageable. So next. So some people would ask, why is it more expensive to do one large CIP project and take that high-risk asset out all at once versus do it in small segments? Well, one reason is, very practically, on the 20-year implementation schedule, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, a lot of communities do that. They're trying to manage money. But you do take on, in 20 years, a lot can happen. So if you're holding on to that old pipe. But you're doing essentially probably 10 contracts if you do a biannual contract process. You do your project planning and design for each cycle. You do your admin and legal costs for each contract and each bid and award process. And contractor scale, you'd be amazed. We work with large-scale CIP projects, and the discount is substantial for large bids versus smaller projects. Like, I'll just say over 30% is not uncommon. Financial cost savings, just quickly to talk about, since you guys are finance focused. There's all kinds of ways to look at that, but SRF, we'll talk about state revolving funds and why those could be advantageous for you to consider financially, have advantages over the bond. And so that's something to look at. As well as inflation, you know what they say about any utility project, just wait and it'll just get more expensive. So estimated water savings with a DWR large-scale CIP AC pipe replacement would save you 25 to 35% versus the 20-year implementation approach. And we think that's conservative but realistic. So funding, how do you do it? So you guys already know this, but it's essentially PAYGO, which most utilities can't afford because nothing is cheap in the water system. So we need to either find grant funding or finance it somehow strategically over time. And you guys have been using the bond market, it looks like, in recent times for your main funding vehicle. But I just want to highlight on financing, some other options have really come to life the last couple of years, like the new WIFIA federal funding program. Even though those rates are creeping up to 3% now, it's still an option that some larger systems are going to. Also, IBANC financing is usually cheaper than the revenue bond market. So, rep bonds are fine, but if you're looking at cost effectiveness, we can probably look at options for that. And then for grants, I just want to say, since you're not a DAC community, many of the grants aren't available to you, but there are certain grants we think you should take a closer look at.
Because we're not what kind of community?
A disadvantaged community, based on median household.
You haven't seen my bills.
DAC based on MHI, median household.
Yeah,
we've applied for some grants for some different things, and we do realize that our median income has been prohibitive on some of them. But huge believer in researching grants from the standpoint that with water and drought being what it is, can't we tap into some mandatory grants? I mean, some requirements as we tap into state money saying, hey, we're making an effort to upgrade our system, we know we have leaks or whatever, and see if there aren't just some general grants that are available based on not financial composition but just need or age of the system type of thing.
Yeah, I'll talk about that in a minute. So,
okay.
So let's just talk about some funding options just to go through this. So as part of developing your own strategy for the town, we can look at what's available now, the next slide, just looking at some grants. So the state has been putting out a lot of drought funding, as you know. They have a new county drought funding program. So in that case, you'd be working with Contra Costa County for certain types of projects to bring in grant funds. It could benefit you. Also, there's SGMA funding, which is the Groundwater Sustainability Act funding. But you have to play in the regional playground. You know, you have to make sure your projects are included in the evaluation and a priority, as well as for the integrated water management. But those are all at least 50% grant match, and then up to 100% for DAC projects. So those are ones you should never overlook. But you do have to kind of play the pay. And then there are some EPA grants I know you've looked at, and we've talked to Dina about maybe one in particular that we could pursue if you want to very soon. That would probably be more along the lines of planning and design, but still would be valuable. And then there's also cost sharing, ultimately, for projects that have mutual benefit to more than just the town. So there's always that.
Do we have projects that would fall under? Is there anything we could do with our water system that would be mutually beneficial to anybody else?
Well, let me go through the flavor of some of these funding opportunities so you can see where some of this would come into play. So this is the county drought funding. It's really meant to help small systems, and the only way I could see it coming into play for the town would be a neighboring small system or even a domestic well that wants to come onto your system so you could get grant funding to make that happen. And the state is really hot to trot on water consolidation. So if we put together a good project, then that could be funded. But it would have to be more of a consolidation type effort. So next slide. I'm sorry, I'm going through this fast, but I know you have other items. So eligible projects under the Cal Drowney funding, they're really after long-term solutions on the bottom. Bullet there. Well repair and replacement or limited scale consolidation. So we just bring that here. So if there's any that comes to mind, because some areas have small systems in their vicinity, and this is an opportunity to fund bringing them into your system. So next slide. This is the DWR SGMA funding. So the latest budgeting, we believe there's $230 million that'll be in the upcoming fall application process for SGMA implementation funding for round two, and you would have to be participating with your
GSA that you're working with on groundwater sustainability compliance, and so a perfect project for you guys there would be a well project, you know, that has sustainability features and benefits local and regional. But this is just the makeup of that funding cycle, and I think the applications are probably going to be due before Christmas, so that one is coming up, so we should at least take a look at that. And then on the IRWM, the next grant funding cycle, we have so this is integrated regional water management. So you're probably part of an IRWM group, is what they're called, integrated regional water management group. And normally they develop integrated resource plans, and if your projects are in there, you can get them funded. And the next cycle for that is $193 million. But you have to be participating in the regional collaboration, making sure your projects are positioned for funding when funding cycle comes up, and then each IRWM is going to end up with eligibility for certain funding levels. And that one is actually due.
I saw that.
Right? But again, our job is to let you know what's here now.
Understood.
And then on the next slide, the one EPA grant we think would make the most sense for you to pursue is this one. We've talked to staff about it, but we want to share it with you and see what, if you thought it was a good direction. But funds can use for a wide variety of purposes, basically water portfolio improvements, including resiliency, natural disaster, protection, cybersecurity, vulnerabilities, sea rise, you know, global warming. So, I mean, this one, though, is probably when you have the best chance for success with. For the EPA.
I can see there's several of those things listed that we could easily justify.
Yeah, you guys, I think so. Yeah. And just on this front, maybe we can look into it, but maybe we can get maybe a climate action plan funded as part of the effort, because that'll help you guys in the future with other funding programs. So that's something that we can look into as well. So just an overview of current grants that are available that could be pursued. There's many more grants in this, but they all tend to be for small systems and for disadvantaged communities. So where does that lead us to?
How many connections makes a small system?
It's a population of 10,000 or less,
okay,
or 3,300 or less connections.
Okay. Just curious. Okay.
Yeah. So how does it look if you have a large CIP to fund? What is the current market conditions for the lowest cost financing? Drinking water SRF right now, you have a huge delta between SRF, which is a 1.1% 30-year financing, versus the rising bond market. So that's really what we're recommending we take advantage of, because it's right now the cheapest money. WIFIA is number two, but that tends to be for larger agencies and projects that need at least $20 million to fund 49% of the project. They do have small system funding, but my feeling is that could be cost prohibitive for you guys to pursue. But right now they offer actually 35-year financing at 3%, but that's something we can talk about. And then, of course, revenue bonds would come in right behind. We deal with all kinds of funding, drinking water SRF, clean water SRF, WIFIA, all the grant programs. So we just try and tailor a funding program that's best for your situation. So if we go to the next slide. So why is SRF, drinking water state revolving fund, attractive? If we pursue a construction application to take out your AC pipe, one of the great things is we can put in for funding to cover all your planning costs, all your design costs, all your construction costs, all your admin costs, including staff.
And if you're borrowing money at a very low cost, that's a really smart thing for an agency to do. So if you did want to pursue drinking water SRF for the larger CIP project, we'd recommend that you pursue the construction application process. Also, they offer 30-year term financing, which is competitive with the bond market. And full loan payments don't begin until 1 year after construction. So a lot of these projects, once we get the funding approved, you'll have up to 3 years for construction. And then you want to actually start making full debt service payments until 1 year after that. So that allows management to really manage the budget more flexibly. Funding, so can we get funding from SRF? Yes. What we don't know is how long it will take, but they are on certain cycles, so let me explain. The timing, in part, is a function of when you submit the application. So the way they run the program is they kind of assess what are the applications they receive by the end of the calendar year. Then they spend the first quarter of the following calendar year, so that would be 2023. Let's say you get an application in by Christmas. They're going to rank and evaluate your application in the spring to see if it goes on the state board funding priority list. So then the state board releases the funding priority list, and if your application is complete and you're basically ready to proceed, then that moves you into the line to move toward a funding agreement. So if we get the application to them in April, the problem is we'll never make the fundable list. So there is a timing issue with that, and we can work with you on that. But what it means is if we want to take advantage of the current low interest rate environment, we want to get an application in sooner than later, if you want to get the whole project done, say, in the next 5 years. So the nice thing about your water CIP project, it is a categorically exempt project for CEQA. But in order to get SRF funding, we'd have to do what's called CEQA Plus. We'd have to do a biological assessment and a cultural resource assessment and mitigate anything accordingly as part of the state approval for the, what they call the environment. So ultimately, SRF is a great way to take out your highest risk water CIP investment, and then also give you a lot of budget flexibility while you're taking care of that. And if you go to the next slide, so this is kind of hard to see, but on the right side, we wanted to show you the California Drinking Water Revolving Fund interest rate history. So you can see it really bottomed out in 2022 at 1.1%. And ironically, the reason for that is they borrowed money from Quithia, because their funding rate was based on the 30-year treasury. So they essentially borrowed money from the federal through the WIFIA program for 2.2%, and they charged 50% of their most recent bond offering. So that's why they can offer such a low rate. But what goes down must come up. So like with clean water SRF, and I didn't want to go into that because that would be your sewer system, but that jumped from 0.9% to 1.6%, because on the drinking water side, they only reset the interest rate once a year, every January. So that's very attractive, because it means that even if rates start going up, it'll take a while for the SRF rates to get too high to where they're not attractive anymore. SRF, clean water SRF, adjusts that rate twice a year, so it's a little more reactive to market conditions. But still, with clean water SRF 1.6, very cheap capital. And on the left, just quickly, is what WIFIA is based on, but that's based on the 30-year treasury rate, and you can see that's still down near 3%, even as we speak. But there are some utilities that were able to get money in 2020 and 21 under 2% for a 35-year term with WIFIA.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Are there any reasons why we wouldn't pursue SRF? I'm just trying to understand the pros and cons.
I can't think of any, but I'm just presenting you with the opportunity, and then, I think it's a great idea. That's why
talked about it with staff, that we need to improve your financial portfolio so that you can weather your risk and still have funds to go to handle these smaller CIPs. I think it makes sense. Next, so people always ask, how long does it take? And you can always blow this up, but it's a five-year proposition. So what it says, it's 22 through 26 across the top, and it shows you the tasks from CIP planning and budgeting in that left column, and then it shows you we submit the financing by the end of this year. We get on the fundable list in 2023, and then we move into a funding agreement by the end of 23, and then we construct for 2.5 to 3 years, through 2025. SRF will allow you 3 years for construction, but we'll work with you on strategically what's the cheapest way to cast the project so that it's delivered at the lowest cost. And then there's administration. And I think we put in, I apologize. So this is ongoing startup and testing. See that green line? That's kind of important because we're going to replace sections at a time. We'll probably break that into areas. And then we're going to be commissioning, newly replaced sections throughout the project. So that's kind of the project implementation schedule with a five-year SRF funding approach. And then the next slide is meant to give you some financial bite here, because we know you're really interested, and you should be. But essentially, if we just replace the 18 miles, we're projecting that conservatively, that could cost up to about $19.5 million, and we would pursue 100% financing from SRF. And it shows you the relative cost for the different, planning, design, construction management, construction, etc., with a relatively small contingency because it's not really that risky. So, but what it shows you is the difference between, on the 20-year approach, it just costs you a lot more money. You can see on the right column, it's going to cost you more for planning, design, construction, construction management, legal costs, etc. So even though it seems cheaper in the short run to go with a 20-year plan, your rates will be a lot higher if you do it that way versus with SRF. So that's just something for you to consider. And then finally, we just want to give you some thoughts on recommendations. So potentially we could remove your AC pipe risk, so you don't really have to worry about that forever. And then take advantage. So what we assumed was, by the time you get SRF financing, worst case, rates may start increasing. So we assumed a 1.6 interest rate. But you have to keep in mind that most likely, if you follow the implementation schedule that's recommended, drinking water SRF rates will only change once, which will be January 23. So we felt like the highest they'll go was 1.6%, similar to SRF. But if that's true, your annual debt service for replacement of that pipe is about what you're budgeting now per year for the 20-year replacement program. So, and then, of course, you can reimburse yourself. So you can be reimbursing planning, design, and some of those other costs back into your budget. So what a lot of agencies find is the first couple of years, it's a little bit of a free ride, if you will, until full debt service really takes hold in the budget. A lot of agencies like the budget flexibility. Really does give you a little more flexibility. Because when you float a bond, as soon as they give you the money at day one, you're paying full debt service. Right? This is going to happen 4 years after that. So our recommendation is you can go with a longer term CIP implementation for your AC pipe CIP project. just understand the risks, or you could go with an SRF recommended approach, which really only makes sense if we take advantage of the low rates. If they start creeping up at some point financially, you may not think it's worth it. But we think if you can get something in the 1% range, it makes a lot of sense financially. So I know I probably talked too much, but we just wanted to share enough information so that you have something to think about.
Brian, do you have any more questions you want to bring up this morning?
I'll let you take the lead.
Well, here's the deal. This is my point. And thank you, by the way, for starting the meeting today. I apologize again. I'm going to hear this exact same presentation at Waterways. I've been mulling things over as I go, and I'll probably bring those into the water wastewater. Because I have to ask some questions about directions to go and that type of thing, but we have some other presenters for this meeting, too, already. So everything's going to come back to this committee at some point. Julie's going to have some recommendations for us, and we're going to have some questions. So we can talk about it. I don't have any direct questions right now.
It's definitely going to be stress testing, because what I don't want to do is lose our AA rating. So
it's definitely going to be what?
Strategize.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, it's a very simple question. What's our next rate study scheduled for?
Yeah, 2024. We'll start the process.
Do we have to? We probably want to make some decisions before then. So that's, I mean, that's one issue we're going to have as a finance committee. I mean, what do we do? How do we fund it without, you know, do we fund it, pay out of reserves? I mean, there's a lot of different options. So I don't really have any details to go into at this point. But thank you very much for the presentation. Again, I apologize for not being here when you started. I think
we just wanted to introduce this opportunity to you to consider. And we know there's going to be a lot of internal discussion and questions that are forthcoming. We're happy to answer.
I love it when somebody comes to me and says, where are you going to come up with $20 million? Thanks a lot for that, Jason. I appreciate it. No, thank you very much. Good presentation, sir. Appreciate it. Again, apologize for being late. This is the kind of stuff we need to know about. And we really do appreciate staff getting together with you guys and bringing this to us early and saying, hey, let's not wait until, you know, we got a policy. And we have some integration issues that I mentioned earlier that I'm concerned about with regards to being able to provide the resources we need, that we're obligated to provide to the community. So, yes, I don't have any more. If you don't.
Just a question for you, though, from the water standpoint. So was this kind of generated because of some of the recent issues that we had, or?
No, this was generated. I'm here for the first time, too. But I know of some other issues from the Water Wastewater Committee that we're having with regards to balancing our Anthony and Aaron both spoke about it last month, of balancing our water treatment plants. Mm-hmm. They're not balanced well enough to provide some of the services we need where we need it. So these are some other things. Jason knows what I'm talking about, that we're going to be addressing and seeing how to integrate that into, because we're talking about replacing like 12-inch with 18-inch for a,
correct,
for a consistent.
Actually 8-inch.
Yeah. I mean, it's like we're using a fire hose and we should be using a
hydraulic bottleneck.
There you go. It's a hydraulic bottleneck. Anyway, thank you. Do you have anything more, Brian?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for coming out. Appreciate it. We will be. We'll definitely talk to you again, sir. I'll see you in another half an hour. We have something else going on here. It looks to me like item two is yours, Dina. I'm sorry. Updates, Julie.
Actually, I'd like to move updates to the end if you could. Okay.
F1, and we have a team that's going to handle that for us.
Yes.
Again, apologize to you guys for me running here at the last minute and all the excitement of the puppy and all that, but
thanks for that.
She's actually a service dog. She just doesn't have her vest on right now, so she heard me talking about it. Hi. Yeah, everything's fine. Go ahead. I'm doing great.
Can you top that? All right, so good afternoon. Jim Fabian, Field and Rollout and Associates, the district's municipal advisor. Also with me is Nikki Coleman of Oppenheimer, the district's underwriter placement agent.
We met many times.
Yes.
Yes.
Have we met?
Yes, I was out here for the bond financing.
Just a few months ago.
Just a few months ago, and then I was at the committee meeting, but I did it virtually last time.
Okay, all right. But you I've known for a while.
Yes.
Okay, great. Right.
Yes, exactly. So we helped in the spring the district issue bonds for the water and wastewater systems.
Fantastic. What do you got for us?
New money bond issue this time. Right now, and we had talked about at that time potentially refunding your existing debt for the 2012 bonds in the fall. So that's what we're here to talk about, refunding of the 2012 lease revenue bonds of the district now.
Got it.
Okay, so with that presentation, we'll move through the presentation. This is just an overview of the financing team, as district staff, district council, bond council, Jones Hall, Juan Galvan, as I mentioned, myself, municipal advisor Jim Fabian, and Oppenheimer placement agent E. Tolman. So what we're here to talk about today is to look at refunding the existing 2012 lease revenue bonds. And we're looking at issuing roughly $11,658,000 of tax-exempt enterprise revenue bonds. But we're doing it differently than what we did back in the springtime when we issued bonds for the new money projects. This would be a private placement with a bank. And so, if you remember, when we were doing the new money issue, we were dealing with rising interest rates, right? And we were, you know, trying to get to the market as quickly as possible back in the spring to try to capture the lowest possible interest rates. And, you know, I'm happy to report that the market has calmed down a bit since we were in the market in springtime. But with we looked at doing a public offering and a private placement, and the public offering actually is a little bit more expensive than a private placement loan with a bank. So what we're presenting to you is a private placement loan with a bank. And so we would be issuing roughly a loan of $11,000,658, and that's broken out into water and wastewater based upon the initial financing and the split of the projects that were funded with those bonds back in 2012. And again, you're creating a situation or a legal structure where you have separate documents for the wastewater, separate documents for the water, and there's not cross-collateralization between the two systems.
Is that the same process we use for the public bonds too, though?
It is.
It is. And this, and Julie, I think you talked about this. This is what we're talking about. This goes back to the water meter bond issuance. No?
No.
The one before it.
2012.
First bond we ever
did. Too many doggone bonds. That's a problem.
It goes back to the 2012 bond.
And that was used to put in the filter. Okay, I'm with you. Okay.
Right. Okay, and for those 2012 bonds that you just mentioned, we have $11,330,000 outstanding. They're now callable on December 1st, 2022 at par or 100%. So that's why we're in front of you today to look at having a mechanism in place to take them out at that point in time. They'll be on parity with your 2017 bonds that did the meters, and then the 2022 bonds that we just did for the improvements for the water and wastewater system that are currently rated AA. With a private placement, you do not get a rating from Standard & Poor's because the bank does their own independent credit assessment of the district. Mm-hmm. Next slide, please. So again, I'm not going to belabor this, but this is just the history of the bond market. You can see on the bottom, I think the most prudent and important point is that 64% of the time, the 10-year municipal market data point have been higher for the 10-year data point, and then 77% for the 30-year. So we are still, even in a rising interest rate environment, still in a pretty good overall interest rate environment. Might not seem like it right now, but we are historically. Next slide, please. This is just a snapshot of what's happened recently. I think everybody knows the Fed did another 75 basis point increase last week. On top of the other 75 basis point increase they did previously. What's going to happen in September, you know, I think it's a waiting game, you know, but the commitment of the Fed is price stability or beat down inflation. Next slide, please. So I think this is a good snapshot to look at your debt. So you had talked about the outstanding debt of both of the systems. So you have the 2012 bonds that we're focused on today to refund, the 2017 debt, and then the 2022 debt. This looks at it in its entirety for each of the two systems. And you can see the original par amount that was issued, where we are right now. You know, we have roughly 29 or 30 million for wastewater and 6 million change for the water system.
So really we've only paid about 2.5 million off the original, about half million off secondary.
That's correct, yes. On the 2012 ones, yes. Next slide, please. So what we're looking at is, as I mentioned, a private placement solicitation. We work with staff to get the go-ahead to go out with a bank solicitation. We went out to 16 different banks and asked them to provide us with their best bid. Those banks, we got 7 bids back from banks, and of those bids, the best bid we got was from a bank called Webster Bank. And what we did is we looked at what would be the savings provided by that bid from Webster Bank. This shows you that we're, as I mentioned, $11.658 million would be the size of the loan. That we would not change the term of the debt. The debt would be maturing at the same December 1st of 2042. We actually have more favorable call provisions than is shown on this slide. We actually, the bank allows us to, as we go through time, actually have a 102 trigger, a 101 trigger, and then a 10-year par call at 100%. So we have more flexibility to pay off the private placement loan. If you could go to the next slide, please. So this is why we're doing this is to provide savings to the district. We had talked about in the spring that we had hoped the market would be there to allow us to do this refunding. At the rate that we received from Webster Bank, we can report that rate is fixed. It produces the savings shown on the slide. We have $974,000 of gross savings. He's right over here.
That looks good.
PV savings of roughly $700,000 or roughly 6.08%. Your policies, your financial policies or debt policies say that you should not do a refunding unless it's 3% or greater. So we're double over that minimum threshold of 3%. We're getting 6.08% PV savings or roughly 700,000 in PV savings. Your gross savings, when you look at your existing debt service, factoring all the costs, versus your new debt service savings is roughly $974,000 total, or roughly $47,000 a year. $46,000.
You made a comment that we have a policy or a recommendation or whatever that if it's not more than 3%, don't mess with it. What's that policy and where does that come from?
It's a debt. Your debt policies you have to adopt, and that says that you will not do a refunding unless you achieve 3% or greater net present value.
Are those the kind of factors that go into your standard port rating too?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure I understand. You know, I'm trying to get the picture here. I'm with you.
Yeah.
So we're double that now. Double that. When you say, and I'm sorry, but when you say total net gross savings, you put net gross in the same description to me, and I go, what?
Yeah. So what we're factoring in there is the cost of the people to do the transaction, which is roughly $146,000. That's factored into the why we call it total net gross savings. So that's factored in. We take the interest rate that the bank is providing us, and then we compare that new debt service schedule to the old debt service schedule, and you're saving $974,000 over that 20-year remaining term of the loan.
That's taking into account all costs, refinance costs.
That's right.
Okay, I understand that. Yes. So what's the 689 number then?
That's when you take in the time value of money, the net present value.
Okay, all right. Good, I'm good.
Okay, so that's a good snapshot, show graphically the savings, higher bars, your prior debt service, and then you have your new debt service shown in the red. On the next slide, please. So then this is, again, we want to show graphically the overall debt profile of the wastewater system. You can see your 17, layered on top of that is the 22, layered on top of that now is the 22.
Seen this graph before a few times.
Yeah, exactly. And you can see you have about roughly $1.8 million a year. Next slide, please. We show the water system. Again, that's going to ratchet down when that 2017 debt goes away. And you can, again, see the 17, 22, and then the 22Bs layered on top of that. And then the next slide. This is just your pro forma. Again, we're looking at the overall debt service coverage calculation for the system. This improves slightly because we have the savings that we're applying to your debt service profile. So this is a little bit better than what we showed you in the spring when we looked at just the debt of the 22 bonds with the old debt of the 2012 bonds. And then the next slide, same thing for the water system, again showing the overall debt coverage for each of the systems. Both systems are in very good shape overall. Then on the next slide, the legal documents that will be presented if we get approval today. Again, we'll have, as we talked about, the two systems separately securing the loan repayment. There'll be the net revenues. We'll have a trust indenture and an installment sale agreement. Again, it'll be a fixed rate transaction, level debt service. You'll continue to have your 125% rate coverage. You'll be allowed to continue, like with your other debt, to have additional debt ability if you choose to. And again, you'll have to have the 125% maximum annual debt service coverage. Now, on the next slide. So what we're proposing is approval to move forward with the refinancing on a private placement basis with Webster Bank. If you give us approval, we come back on August 17th to the full board and also to the authority. We have resolutions for each of the governing bodies to approve the refunding of the debt. We'd have a not-to-exceed parameter of $11,725,000. The final maturity, as I mentioned, would not be extended. It would be the December 1st, 2042 date. The interest rate is a not-to-exceed 385, but that's high. These are just not-to-exceed parameters. Because we already know what our rate is, we have it locked.
Okay,
we're set.
I just wrote down. Is the rate locked?
It is locked.
Okay.
It is locked. 3.54%. And that rate lock is through September 15th, which is our closing date for the transaction. So the documents you'll see on the 17th would be an escrow agreement. That is the agreement that says we're going to take the money from the refunding, put it into an escrow fund. That escrow fund will be used to pay off the bonds on 12/1/2022. Then the indenture, which is with the trustee to lay out all the funds that will be required, the installment sale agreements with the water fund, the wastewater fund, to pledge the net revenues of each of the systems, and then the loan agreement with the bank, Webster Bank, that would be the agreement with them to loan me the money. And that.
Okay,
schedule. So this is the schedule. Just want to run through this very quickly. So working with staff, we went out on July 14th. For the RFP, they came back in on the 28th. We had a call to look over the bids and select Webster Bank. We're in front of you today with the at the committee level to seek your approval for the recommended bank. We come back in on the 17th for the full board approval of the item, and then close on September 15th, and then the debt would be called on December 1, 2022. So that's the
that your presentation?
Yes, sir.
We're running against a time constraint here, but I do want to make sure that I understand the process moving forward. So, Dina, if Brian and I have a little discussion here real briefly about whether we like what we're hearing, and we do, then tonight another presentation is going to occur where we're going to agree that we have put our blessing on this as a committee. And then you come back on August 17th for the board approval. What's the presentation tonight to the board? Just a kind of an introduction to it?
No presentation tonight.
Well, what do I see on that? What am I looking at there?
Not their agenda.
What's F1?
F1 to the board meeting?
Oh, I'm looking at the committee.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this committee. It's the one we're talking about. That's what it is. That one. I'm sorry. I'm trying to. So nothing about this is coming to the board tonight.
No.
Okay. That's why I thought that's happening pretty fast. Brian, do you understand it?
There's things I have questions about.
You want to bring them up now?
No. I'd rather talk with you and staff.
Okay. So I'm clear, roughly what we're talking about, if we can refinance this to the private sector from the public sector, because our 10 years is up and we don't pay a penalty, we can save overall about $1 million.
That's correct.
Okay, then I just want to make that, right, my mic is on. You want to make that very simple summary, not detailed, very simple summary, $1 million to refi the term. The interim doesn't get extended.
Correct.
You're not tacking anything on the back end. This is just refining into the private sector and saving money on interest rates.
That's correct.
Okay.
And that $1 million accounts for the cost to do it. And the other thing I wanted to mention, too, is that solicitation we did to the 17 banks, I mean, that was an extensive list that Nikki and Hershock put together to really solicit the best possible opportunities for the district.
Pretty extensive to me, yeah.
Get the best possible rate with the most flexible terms. And then through the review of the 7 bids we did receive, Webster Bank came out on top, not only because they had the lowest rate, but the most flexible terms, too. So that was really important to us.
Now that you started the question I was going to ask, just as a kind of curiosity, why the private sector? Is there any other opportunities or different things we could look at?
We did look at the public sale opportunities. So we did with the new money issue in the spring, we said, okay, well, what, you have this avenue of public sale where you go through a rating process, you would go out to the public sector, public market, and solicit bids from investors. That was actually more expensive. Our savings, when we looked at that, weren't as strong as with the private placement with the bank, Webster Bank. And the reason is, when you think about a public sale, you have an official statement that has to get prepared. You have that bond rating that you have to pay for. So there's more fixed costs. And where the interest rate market was, we look at it. And Nikki, do you want to talk about that? Look at the lay out the comparison to the board?
Between the public and private?
Yeah.
We're under a time constraint right now, Brian. As long as you're satisfied.
It was,
we don't love hearing you talk, Nikki, but.
Yeah, talking with staff, it definitely the best approach was the private placement with Webster Bank versus going out to the public market.
And that includes small things like you can actually lock the rate in. You're not like going to the public and crossing your fingers and hoping the Feds don't do something and all that kind of stuff.
No, that's right. Because what we're coming with you is a fixed rate. We know what our savings are. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen, in the world between now and September 15th. We have our savings in hand and we know what they are.
Right.
And it was 660 total savings for the public offering and 974 for the private placement.
There's your answer.
So that was pretty significant in addition to the ability to lock that rate.
But interestingly enough, they still...
Ashley.
They still... Oh, no wonder. And interestingly enough, they still require that 10-year par... you still have to hold on to it for 10-year call, correct?
Well, no. Actually, as I mentioned on the slide, it was a little
Yeah,
bit
what
different.
Was the 101, 102? I didn't understand.
Yeah,
that.
So for... I wrote it down right here. So they allow us a little bit more flexibility because it's a bank loan than we typically have. So what we talked about was instead of a 10-year call, so for year 1 to 2, no call, so locked out. But years 3 to 5, you could do it at 102. So you'd have a 2% prepayment credit.
Yeah.
Year 6 through 9, it would be a 1% or 1%.
So this would only come into play if for some dramatic reason interest rates drop back down to 1% and it would be beneficial for us doing it.
That's right. Yeah,
it's we're pretty low, and anyway. Okay, guys, I really am sorry. We have a huge agenda on our wastewater committee meeting today.
Okay.
Not that I don't mean to be rude or cut anybody off. And we have another item we have to address here. Is that correct?
I do. So I want to make sure we have direction on how we like.
Yeah, I noticed that one. Can we? Is it possible to? Is it possible just to skip the financial update for this meeting? Julie, I know you put some preparation into it, but you can just double it up next meeting. Or if something comes up, we can get a special meeting. But let's take that off the board at this point and go to item 2, which is critical, which is pump station W replacement. And I had a chance to do a walk with that with the wastewater and water committee. Gina, go ahead.
So pump station W is located at wastewater treatment plant 1, and it is the main pump station for all of Discovery Bay. That means that all the wastewater pipes within Discovery Bay funnel into pump station W before it is moved from plant 1 over to plant 2 for treatment. During a routine inspection and review of pump station W, it was discovered that there was severe structural damage to the pump station. The steel casing and the piping of the pump station really well dilapidated and so this needs to be fixed ASAP. The cost to fix the structural damage is estimated to be about $2.05 million. The Water and Wastewater Committee have been informed of the damage and are continually being updated regarding the manner of the repair. Staff has created a financing strategy and we're going to be presenting that right now for discussion. The plan to pay for the repair is as follows. 1. Pump Station W has an estimated budget amount already in the capital plan for $1 million. So we have that money. To offset the balance of the project, staff plans to utilize $1.05 million from the Infrastructure Reserve Fund. This fund saves a bank for unanticipated infrastructure repairs at a rate of $200,000 annually. Currently, the fund has a balance of $1.950 million. After the utilization of the infrastructure funds, the new balance then of this fund would be $1.15 million. For any questions? So that is our plan to fund pump station W.
Is that fund the fund that we use when we have typical leaks and?
Are you water leaks or wastewater leaks? So we don't really have
water leaks.
No.
No.
Water is a completely different entity.
Got it.
Price fund. We don't touch those.
Okay.
This is wastewater.
It's a plan that Mike and Dina brought together, and Julie too. She was around for that. You remember right about the time you got on the board, or a little before that, to make. For this exact reason, we didn't have a specific replacement fund for expiring.
That's right, like 4 years ago.
Actually, this was done
even before that.
Okay. We started this pretty much when I got on here. We started putting small dollars away to create this revolving fund so that we had a little bit of money when we have issues.
Yeah, we've established several little funds like that, like vehicle replacement. All
there,
the time.
Yeah, there's
right.
Facilities,
yeah.
Vehicles.
So, you know. This is what keeps us from having to go back to the public and restructure rates when we didn't, you know, in the middle of a cycle. because we've got that built into our rate study to be able to handle these type of things. And then if we do need to go out for some other funding, we can always replace that replacement fund with funding we get if we absolutely need to do that. I like the fact that we're going to do it without going having to go into debt. That's what I, because I, as much as I love seeing you guys here, you know, when I go back long enough to remember when we didn't have any debt, and so I kind of feel like, man, I'm trying to reduce debt in my household, and all I do is increase debt at the town. But I mean, it's, you know, we're a growing entity with expiring infrastructure, and it can't help be helped. But anyway, enough.
Well, certainly, if the funds have already been created for that specific purpose, then obviously that's.
I think that, that we agree with your method of funding for the project, and we would make that recommendation to the board.
Okay, thank you. I would like to, if I could, go back to F1. I don't think we had a decision. If you guys like the idea, should
we like
questions?
I like saving money. You like saving money?
I like saving money as well. Is that the staff recommendation?
You know, we would probably like to bring that to the board. Yes, I think so. I think $1 million over that time is a great savings.
So. We are in agreement that if we can, yeah, absolutely. We would like to see that proposal come back to the board while we still have a locked-in rate, and that can't go on forever. I don't see interest rates dropping. The Feds keep raising. We probably didn't quite get our bond in when we could have. We probably spent a little bit more on that last funding go around, but who knew what the market was going to do, right? Because it looked like it kind of dropped a little bit after we got ours, but it's probably back up to that same rate again. Yes, do you need anything up more from this committee at this time? Brian, you good?
I'm good.
I'm going to adjourn this meeting and